felicity of expression. Though a silent member in Congress, he was so prompt, frank, explicit, and decisive upon committees and in conversation, not even Samuel Adams was more so, that he soon seized upon my heart. And upon this occasion, I gave him my vote and did all in my power to procure the votes of others. I think he had one more vote than any other, and that placed him at the head of the committee. I had the next highest number, and that placed me the second. The committee met, discussed the subject, and they appointed Mr. Jefferson and me to make the draft. I suppose because we were the first two on the list. The subcommittee met. Jefferson proposed to me to make the draft. I said, I will not.
You should do it.
Oh, no. Why will you not? You ought to do it. I will not. Why? Reason enough. What can be your reasons? Reason first. You are a Virginian. And a Virginian ought to appear at the head of this business. Reason second, I am obnoxious, suspected, and unpopular. You are very much otherwise. Reason third, you can write 10 times better than I can. Well, said Jefferson, if you are decided, I will do as well as I can. A meeting we accordingly had and conned the paper over. I was delighted with its high tone and the flights of oratory with which it abounded, especially that concerning Negro slavery, which, though I knew his Southern brethren would never suffer to pass in Congress, I certainly never would oppose. There were other expressions which I would not have inserted if I had drawn it up, particularly that which called the king tyrant. I thought this too personal, for I never believed George to be a tyrant in disposition and in nature. I always believed him to be